Hello.
Hello, am I through to Matthew Ross?
Yes, you are.
Hi Matthew, it's James calling from MMA Legal. How are you today? You okay?
Not too bad.
Fantastic. Just before I continue with the call, I just need to ask you some questions for data protection purposes. Could you please confirm for me your date of birth, please, Matthew?
Yeah, 7365.
Fantastic. And can you confirm for me your postal address, please?
PA50EF.
Fantastic. Just to let you know, the calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. As you know, the purpose of the call today is to take the witness statement from yourself. This is a detailed statement into your time in Kerr, what happened to you, how it affected you, and what evidence may exist. I will guide you through the questions in order. Some questions may feel difficult, but you can take a break at any time. Just vocalize it when we're on the phone. That's even if you'd like to take a moment to go to the toilet or to even get yourself a drink or just to gather your thoughts for a few moments. That's perfectly fine. I will also may need us to bring us back to the timeline if we move too far ahead. So don't take this as any offense or I'm disregarding what you're saying. It's just so I can get the statement as clear and complete as possible. Okay. The way I like to conduct these statements, Matthew, is like a chronology of your life. So it's like we're going to go through a detailed story, starting off at the beginning, being your personal background when you was a child, and how you came into the ent how you was entered into the Kerr system. We will then I will then ask you a series of 12 questions specifically in relation to your time at your stated Kerr settings, and then it will go to the next section, which is just a series of questions asking about who the people who were involved and responsible for any abuse you may have suffered in that Kerr setting, as well as the reporting and the institutional knowledge of said abuse. It'll then be movement between placements and leaving Kerr, and then we'll speak about the impact the Kerr system has had on your life, and then it will essentially just be some generic questions in relation to previous claims and applications, and as well as your final statement in your reason for applying and what you'd like to address to the Scottish Redress Panel. With that being said, Matthew, are you comfortable and happy to continue today?
Yes.
Do you need anyone with you, or
Oh, no, I'm fine.
do you understand the purpose of the statement and agree that it may be used for your Scottish Redress application and supporting evidence?
Yeah.
So, where is it where you grew up, Matthew?
Johnston.
Where, sorry? Johnston?
Johnston, yeah.
Can you remember your family address?
Yes, it was a 5 Buchanan Street in Johnston.
Could you spell that for me, please?
B-U Buchanan, B-U-N, B-U-C-H-A-N-A-N.
Buchanan Street.
Buchanan, I have Buchanan.
Buchanan Street, apologies, apologies. Within this family home, who lived there with you?
My mother, my father, and my two brothers and two sisters.
Would you be able to provide me with the names of your brothers and sisters?
What's that?
Are you able to provide me with the names of your brothers and your sisters?
Yeah. Martin Ross.
Yeah.
Lorraine Ross.
Lorraine.
Lorraine, yeah.
Yeah.
Jacqueline Ross. And Thomas Ross.
Fantastic. So, are you able to briefly describe what your home life was like before you entered Kerr? So this being any family health issues, what are relevant, your education before you was placed into Kerr, and as well as any relevant social work difficulties?
Well, my home life was fine. You know what I mean? Like, a good upbringing and things like that, it was fine. What you want?
Things were fine. Do you recall what your education was like before you was placed into Kerr? How was you doing in school?
Well, I was doing all right. I mean, I was doing no too bad in school. A bit kind of disruptive and things like that, which usual young boys have, you know what I mean? But
You were destructive.
I was doing okay, yeah. Bit mischievous to be put it bluntly.
Bit mischievous, you'd say. Yeah, so just so you know, what so far as my home life was fine, I had a good upbringing and that. Things were fine. I was doing all right in school. Destructive sometimes, like all boys are, but I was doing fine. A bit mischievous.
Yeah.
Do you recall any form, any social work difficulties at that time before you was in care?
No, not exactly.
That's fine. Just so you are aware, if there's anything what you can't remember in relation to a question that I ask, it is perfectly fine just to say that you don't remember, and we'll be able to move on. The next question being, Matthew, how did you come in, how did you come to enter care? Who made the decision and were you told the reasons why?
Told the reason why I was put in care?
Yeah, was you ever told the reasons why you were placed into care? And
well,
who...
basically I was taking the children's panels for playing truant for school. I went into high school, first year.
So you attended the panel for truancy?
Yeah.
And did you say you did? You was at this time you was in your first year of high school?
Yeah, I was in first year, yeah.
Yeah, high school. Were you told the reasons as to why you was going to be placed into care?
No. Basically, I think it was just because I played truant and not going to school and things like that.
If it does get silent on my end, it's just me being catching up with the notes. Sometimes, obviously, it's human nature to want to fill in the silence sometimes. Try refraining yourself from doing that. And then when I'm ready and I've caught up, I'll let you know. And then if you wish to add on anything, that will be the time where you're able to add something and I continue to add the relevant information. And as well, it's human nature once I end up asking you some questions, that when you're answering, something comes up, what's relevant, what happened in the future, try refrain yourself from bringing that up, because the way the questions are set out will eventually get to that, and I don't want to miss anything out when it comes to taking your statement, and we're just trying to be as meticulous as we possibly can. So I know this question is the next question is going to sound a bit silly because you've already detailed it to me, but do you have any siblings and were you separated from any of them?
Me have siblings.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a daughter and I've got a son.
No. Your siblings would be you two brothers and your sisters.
No. The only time I was ever separated from was when I was put into care.
Okay. No problem. The next question, Matthew, is how old were you when you first entered care?
I'm not really sure. I think it was about 11 or 12, somewhere about 11.
And how did you feel at the time when you were told that you were going to be entering into care?
Not very good. It was a shock to me. You know what I mean? I honestly didn't know what I was going to step into, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Something I didn't really think about, you know what I mean? It was just something that, just when they told me, I had no choice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not something I can jump around and say, I'm not going, you know what I mean? Scared, I felt scared as well. See, I didn't know what I was walking into or what I was getting into, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
basically the first time I'd left my family, you know what I mean?
Just one moment. Yeah, so I'm just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I'm just going to relay back to you what I've got written down. Let me know if I've missed anything or if there's anything what you'd like to add. So I've just got, I think I was about 11 or 12, I'm not sure. It was a shock to me. I also felt scared. I didn't know what I was going to step into. Something I didn't really think about as when they told me I had no choice. It wasn't something I could turn around and say I wasn't going. And this was the first time I left my family, if you know what I mean. Is that correct? And or is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, that's about it, I think.
No problem. Is there anything important about your childhood health, learning needs, vulnerability, or name history that should be recorded?
No, I don't think so. You know, a headmaster in primary school had sent me once to, what does he call it again? Mary Russell. Because he thought there was something wrong with me.
He sent you to where, was it, sorry?
There's a place called Mary Russell.
Mary
Russell Institute. He used to go there and test you for different things.
Are you able to give an example of what them different things were?
I was only young at the time, you know what I mean? So I didn't really understand it, you know what I mean? It was kind of weird because to stand in one foot and put your tongue out and all that carry on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things like that, you know what I mean? That was a headmaster that sent me there. Mr. Geddes, his name was.
What did you say the name of the headmaster was?
Mr. Geddes.
Geddes.
Thank you, Shaf. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon with the family, mate. Congratulations again.
Yes, but no, I don't think so. The headmaster in primary school sent me once to Mary Russell Institute. They would test you for different things. I was young at the time and didn't understand it. It was weird. They would ask me to stand on one foot and place my hand on my nose, etc. The headmaster was called Mr. Geddes.
Yeah.
Is there anything what I've missed or anything what you'd like me to add?
No, I think that's about it. That's cool.
Just real quick, was you ever known as a previous name whilst you was in Kerr or before Kerr?
Me?
Matthew Lee.
No, I said me. Was I ever known as another name?
Yeah. Was you ever known as another
name? No, just Matthew Ross.
Fantastic. That concludes the personal background and entry into Kerr, Matthew. I've now gone ahead before I called you today just to draft your chronology of Kerr, as you stated to us. Your only Kerr setting was St. Ninian's Falkland Fife.
Yeah.
And once I've reviewed your not only your GP records, but your childcare records from Renfrewshire Council, it also confirms that your only Kerr setting was St. Ninian's. I'm going to provide you with the following information and just confirm if this is correct. So the Kerr setting being St. Ninian's, the location being in Falkland Fife, the approximate date of you being placed into Kerr was the 15th to the 18th of May in 1978, and you was there up until the 13th of December in 1979, and you was placed there by Strathclyde Regional Council, the Social Work Department, the Children's Hearing, and also the Renfrewshire Division.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So now we'll just go through and I'm going to ask you a series of 12 questions in relation to your time at St. Ninian's. The first question is going to be sound a bit silly because I have just told you the answer to it on the phone, but it needs to come from yourself. So would you please confirm for me, Matthew, the institutional name of your first Kerr setting?
It was St. Ninian's. St. Ninian's House of Falkland Fife.
House of Falkland, Falkland House.
Oh, House of Falkland, Falkland Fife.
Oh, Falkland Fife, sorry about that. And do you know from your recollection who placed you there?
No, I think it was just a children's panel. From my recollection, that was the only thing I can, I think.
Yeah. Can you remember roughly how old you were when you was placed into care?
I don't know. I was in first year at the time, so I must have been about 11 or 12 years old. I'm 61 just now, you know what I mean? So if you get back on the date.
Yeah, of course. That's why I tried to stress, if there's anything what you can't remember, just state that you can't remember and don't think that it will affect your statement in any way, not remembering. So don't put pressure on yourself.
I know I was young, but I don't know. I don't know if it was 11 or 12 or something like that. But I know I was young. It was my first year of high school. I didn't even complete my first year in high school.
Could you please confirm for me what type of care setting St. Ninian's was?
What do you mean?
So what type of care setting was it? Was it a children's home? Was it a residential school? Was it a boarding school?
No, I think it was it had people in it that couldn't go home kind of thing. And it had people in it for being other things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking it to a kind of West East school kind of thing.
Yeah.
Something like that, you know what I mean? I'm not 100% sure.
Was you a resident in the St. Ninian's? Was you staying there?
Pardon?
Was you staying over at St. Ninian's? So was you a resident there?
No, I stayed over in it.
Yeah, no problem. And can you roughly remember how long you were there?
I don't know, about 14 months or something.
No problem. So now the next question is just in relation to what the daily life was like when you was at St. Ninian's. But first, I'm just going to ask you if you could briefly describe what the accommodation was like.
The accommodation was dorms.
The dorm rooms?
No, dormitories.
Did you have your own separate dorm or was you sharing?
No, I was sharing. You'd have about 6 or 7 other people in the dorm with you.
Can you remember if there was windows in this dormitory and if you had access to natural light?
Sorry, I can't understand anything you're saying.
So was there any windows within the dormitory?
Yeah, there was a window in it, yeah.
And what was the overall hygiene and cleanliness of the beds and the room itself?
They were fine. They were fine. It was fine. They were clean and that. They were changed all the time.
Were you ever provided clothing when you attended St. Ninian's?
Yeah, they gave you clothing. They gave you jeans and things like that, jogging shoes and things. They gave you boots and sand shoes, like plumsoles.
So they provided you with joggers, boots, sandals, and what else did they provide you with? Sorry?
Plumsoles, it wasn't sandals, it was plumsoles.
Oh, plumsoles.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Did they provide you with any shirts or anything like that, or sweatshirts?
Yeah, shirts as well, underwear.
Was any of these clothing what provided to you? Were they ever oversized or were they ever dirty?
They were never dirty, but sometimes they were a bit big.
Problem. Can you remember if you was provided with 3 meals a day?
Yeah.
And was them 3 meals a day, was you able to have choice of food?
I think you did that. No, breakfast. I think breakfast was just the one. And your meal, I think, was just one as well in the afternoon. your lunch, I think you can get the two choices or something, if I can remember right.
Yeah. So during lunchtime and dinner you had choices, but breakfast you didn't?
Oh, yeah.
Can you recall if you were ever able to contact your family while you were at St. Ninian's, or was you ever refused to be able to contact your family?
Yeah, you weren't allowed to contact your family. But your family was allowed to contact them, ask them how you were getting on. But you weren't allowed to contact your family. You were allowed to go and see your family every fortnight for the weekend.
Yeah, and are you able to describe what your daily routine was like?
The daily routine was usually just getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
And basically getting washed, showered and changed, and then you went down and get breakfast. And then you went from there to school. The school was inside the building. So you went to classes and everything inside the building.
Inside the building, yeah. Following school, what would you do after school had finished?
When school was finished, you basically get changed. And then you would get you'd be allowed to either watch the TV in the place, or you could go out in the grounds and play out in the grounds, and there's a playing field in the bottom. You could go down there and kind of kick a ball about and play football and things like that.
Just adjusting for punctuation and grammar, and then I'm going to relay to you what I've got, and you let me know if there's anything that I've missed or if there's anything what you'd like me to add. So I've got the accommodation with dorm rooms. I had 6 or 7 other children in the dorms. The cleanliness of the rooms was fine. The bed was changed all the time. I was provided joggers, boots, plum soles, shirts and underwear. They were never dirty, but sometimes they were a bit big. I was provided 3 meals a day. We had a choice during lunchtime and dinner. However, for breakfast, we had no choice of food. You weren't allowed to contact your family. Your family was allowed to contact the institution to ask how you were getting on, but they wouldn't allow you to contact your family. You could see them on weekends every fortnight. And then for the daily routine being, we would get up, wash, dress, and eat breakfast. You would then go to school, which was inside the building. Following school finishing, you would get changed and you would be allowed to watch telly inside, or you could go outside on the grounds to play football, etc.
Yep.
Is there anything what you'd like to add?
That's that, I think.
No problem. So, how did the children genuinely treat you whilst you was at St. Ninian's?
Some of them are okay, but everything else, you know what I mean? You all came from different backgrounds and, you know what I mean, different places, and you always could get the arguments, you know what I mean? You were always fighting and things like that, you know what I mean? And somebody would want to fight with you, or, you know what I mean? So it wasn't always happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the other children, you know what I mean? You were always, obviously, the children are going to fight each other and things like that, arguments.
So when there were arguments and, oh, let me just change that to children instead of people. So as you state that, obviously it's all from different backgrounds, and naturally there was always arguments and children wanted to fight each other. Were the members of staff, did they ever intervene to prevent you from obviously fighting each other or any form of bullying?
They would intervene, yeah. Actually, when they seen it, they would intervene. But that's when trouble started then.
Yeah, no problem holding a minute. Yeah, so that's when the trouble would start?
Yeah, that's when they'd put you in the main hall and they would separate you. And that's what happened, and whatever, and then the 2 years were punished for it. And if you didn't accept the punishment, they used to grab a hold of you and hold you down and hit you up. It could be anything. It could be a stick. It could be your plimsoll you had in your feet. It could be the belt. It could be anything they had in their hand. You know what I mean? You punished a few times as well and things like that. You know what I mean? If you didn't accept the punishment of them. They would stand you in the main hall for hours and hours at a time. You know what I mean? You weren't allowed to sit down or nothing. You'd just stand there.
Yeah, one second. Sometimes, yeah. Do you say it was the main hall, yeah, where you'd be standing?
Yeah. You'd be standing at night time. So you'd be standing
sometimes
there.
Sometimes at night.
Yeah, you'd be standing there right through the daytime, right through the night time. Sometimes you could be standing there at about 2:30 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'll put from sometimes from morning till night. Through to the morning. Yeah. Can you remember how the staff genuinely treated you?
How the what?
How the staff treated you generally?
Some of them were okay. Some of them were fine, but your other ones it wasn't. You know what I mean? Some of them were very, very strict. The slightest wee thing would set them off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know you've already explained in relation to one part being punishments, but do you remember if there were any rules, punishments, isolation or unsafe arrangements that was enforced by the staff?
The only thing is that I explained that you get stood in the main hall for hours in the dark, and they would hit you with anything they had in their hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they would just grab a hold of you and hold you. If you refused the belt or you refused the punishment, they would grab a hold of you, hold you down. And they would punch you, or they would hit you with a stick, or they would hit you with anything they had in their hand.
Yeah.
A belt, your plimsoll, you know what I mean? Things like that.
Yeah, no problem.
And then you would, after that, if it was thing where you were told you weren't making home that fortnight, you know what I mean? You were there for, you missed your weekend home.
Oh, so they take away your vacation privileges?
Yeah.
And that was if you refused to accept the punishment.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem. So now we're going to probably go into the most distressing part of the witness statement now. So take your time in relation to answering these questions. First, I'm going to explain to you what Scottish Redress Panel considers as behaviour and factors of abuse. So at first, it's going to be in relation to neglect. So the Scottish Redress Panel accepts any form of inadequate or withholding of food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, safety, medical care, education or emotional support, unsafe confinement or failure to protect from bullying, violence, sexual harm, other children or unsafe adults. With that being said, Matthew, is there anything at your time at St Ninian's looking back that you would now consider neglect?
Yeah, I didn't really think it was that far back ago when I was young, I mean,
I That's fine. So now the next category of abuse is emotional abuse. And the Scottish Regis panel identifies emotional abuse as any form of threats, humiliation, blame, any name-calling, any isolation, any different treatment, any denial of family contact, being made to feel powerless or unwanted, or being forced to witness abuse or humiliation of others. With that being said, Matthew, are you able to think back to your time at St. Ninian's and consider that anything you experienced there would have been emotional abuse?
Yeah, well, you did witness people getting abused, you know what I mean? Getting hurt and things like that. And the rest.
You'd witness it?
You did witness things like that, yeah. Because they just done it right in front of you, you know what I mean? Didn't matter who was there and who wasn't there, they just done it, you know what I mean? So sometimes it was a bit of kind of, how can I explain it, a bit of a kind of shock, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you don't know where you're going to be next, you know what I mean?
So you're being shocked and you're being fear.
And they would call you names, you know what I mean? They called you names and things like that.
So with you saying that they would also call you names and that,
yeah,
are you able to recall an example of some names, what the staff would call you?
No, really, no.
You don't know?
No, it just came out with different things. What I mean.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem. So the next form of abuse would be physical abuse. And the Scottish Redress Panel identifies physical abuse as any form of hitting, slapping, punching, kicking, shaking, throwing, restraining, locking in, exposure to cold or hot water, denial of food or toilet access, or the use of an object that would record injuries or pain, and whether treatment was provided, needed, hidden, or ignored. With that being said, looking back at your time at St. Ninian's, is there anything what you'd now consider as physical abuse?
Put your seed there, I would say nearly all.
You'd say it would be all?
Nearly all. Because you had physical abuse of them, you had name calling, you had isolation as well. And they did sometimes stop you from getting food. If you'd done something wrong, you wouldn't get your saber talks at your supper that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They did stop you from calling your family and contact your family that way.
And the final category of abuse would be sexual abuse. And the Scottish Regis panel identifies the behaviours and actions of sexual abuse to be any form of unwanted sexual touching or exposure, any sexual comments / images being made to watch, any pressure or forcing to take part, any attempted or actual penetration, oral or masturbation, photography or filming, any grooming, any gifts, any threats of secrecy. With that being said, is it looking back at your time at St. Ninian's, is there anything what happened to you what you'd now consider as sexual abuse?
No, in my part. But there was a lot of that getting about, you know what I mean, with the kissing girls. You did see it. You know what I mean?
You did see it.
You did see it, yeah. On a few occasions, you know what I mean? You just kind of walked into the room and you go, oh, and walk back out again kind of thing, you know what I mean? And there was parts of they would touch you in different places. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be as obvious that they were doing it, if you know what I mean. They would just do it, just touching places you didn't feel comfortable touching you. You know what I mean?
So sometimes they would touch you in places what they wherever they wanted to, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Plus when you went for a shower and things like that, they stood in the shower and watched you. There were no privacy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would do things like in the shower, like it was the ones that was in the shower, the Christian Brothers, they would be the soap, they would say things like, oh, you missed a bit.
Yeah.
And kind of rub you and things like that, you know what I mean?
What, like, they would...
feel uncomfortable, you know what I mean?
What, said they would physically want to bathe you sometimes?
Rub you with the soap, nah, and bathe you, basically. I know them all, they weren't all like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's only some of them like that, isn't they? Weren't all like that.
No problem. Just let me just continue writing these notes and we'll get back to the point. So what I've got so far is not on my part, but there was a lot of it going on. I did see some people on occasion being victim of sexual abuse. Sometimes they would touch you in places where they wanted to. When you showered, they would also watch you. There was no privacy. They would sometimes point out that we miss parts of our body when washing. They would then take the soap and wash us themselves. One moment. This would make me feel really uncomfortable. They wasn't all like that, though, but there was some who were.
Yeah.
Is anything what I've missed there? Anything what you'd like me to add on?
No, I don't think so. I think
so. Fantastic. So now, would you be able to confirm to me who was involved or responsible?
There was a few of them. There was a Christian, a brother that was called Brother Ryan.
So there's Brother Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was Brother Farrell.
Brother Farrell?
Yeah.
F-A-R-R-E-L?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay, there were another one. What was the one's name? Kelly.
Brother Kelly?
Yeah. There was another one. He wasn't actually a Christian brother. I'm trying to remember his name now, but he wasn't actually... They called him Caveman. You know what I mean?
Caveman.
That's what they called him, Caveman, aye.
Is that who they called Brother Kelly, or is this the one?
This is the one that wasn't a Christian brother.
He wasn't a Christian brother?
No, he was a civvy. He was like a kind of, how can you explain it, teacher wise? He was a teacher, but I'm trying to think, like, kind of teacher. He used to make, like, homemade wine and things like that, and all that kind of carry on, you know what I mean? Pottery and all that stuff.
I'll just put teacher for now, because I don't know what that subject would be really for that, if I'm being honest. So I'll just put it as teacher, nickname Caveman.
Yep.
Was there any other names what you could remember who was involved or responsible?
I can't even think of any ones. There's a lot of them I can't even remember their names.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't
worry
about
that. I can't remember their names.
You stated before that you witnessed some people being victims of sexual abuse. Are you able to remember the names of those who you saw?
No.
No. So again, this is going to be very distressing in relation to the witness statement and your time at St. Ninian's. But so far, we've got that you was a victim of emotional abuse, physical abuse, and then also sexual abuse. So first, I'm going to ask you if you could provide me a clear example of each of one of those forms of abuse. But first, we'll just start off with emotional abuse. Could you kindly give one clear example of what happened when you was a victim of emotional abuse, where and when it occurred, what happened before, during and after the emotional abuse had occurred?
No, because I don't even know. I don't know what you're meaning.
Say that again, sorry.
I don't know what you're meaning.
So essentially, are you able to recall like a detailed account of when you suffered a form of emotional abuse? So you stated before that you was in shock and you was in fear and not knowing when you're next, when someone was abused in front of you and was hit.
Yeah.
You able to recall one instance of when that happened?
No, I would see in the showers when they were touched, he was so dry washing, wasn't touching places it shouldn't be.
That will be in relation to the sexual abuse, so we'll keep that for the sexual abuse. But I will mention it within
maybe the emotional one was like standing in the main hall for hours. Emotional abuse and things like that. What I mean, calling your names and things like that.
To like belittle you.
Yeah. He done things to you, like if you wet the bed, you get embarrassed you in front of everybody. You had to get out into the courtyard with your sheets and wash your sheets in a cold bath and water, and then take them to the laundry.
So if you ever wet the bed, they would embarrass you in front of everyone, and then what would they do with cold water?
They would have to take you out and you had to wash your sheets in the water out in the courtyard, so it was an open courtyard. There was like walls round about and a big gate, but it was an open, no roof.
So when they was making you wash in the open courtyard outside, was you clothed?
Yeah, well, you had your pyjamas on.
Can you remember any of the time when you witnessed someone being in receipt of the physical abuse that you stated previous?
Somebody I've seen getting physically abused?
Yeah.
As I said, there were...
Or any form of abuse?
Well, there's quite a lot of people getting it. You know what I mean? If you, as I said, they hit you with a stick, your slipper, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You hit behind their hand, you know what I mean? There's a boy called Vincent Hayes, I remember him. I've seen him getting that offer, dude. You know what I mean?
Vincent Hayes, yeah. And what did you see? What happened to him?
Well, he just get held down and get in. There's a bit of freedom, punching him and kicking him. What they would do as well is if they'd done something, like hurt you and things like that, whatever, if you were due your weekend release, they would find a reason not to send you. They gave you money at the week, you know, kind of truck money it was called. And you go to a top shop and buy sweets and things like that, but if you wet the bed, you weren't allowed to buy juice.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't let you buy juice. And somebody else bought you juice, and you swapped it for sweets for a bottle of juice, and they caught you. That's when you would lose your weekend. You stood in the main hall, and you would get whether a slipper or a belt or whatever.
Yeah.
Things like that. They were violent. They were very violent. Also, as I said, umpteen times when I went home at the weekend thing, I didn't want to get back, and I would tell my mother and my father the reason, and they would be happy, they would phone up and things like that. I think my mother and father went up one of the times, and they denied it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was true, you know what I mean? If they marked you with a cane or whatever, or a belt or whatever, they used to turn around and see if anything did come out of it, they would turn around and see, are you fighting with other people? know what I mean? They were fighting, you know what I mean? That's how he gets out of the marquee and things like that, you know what I mean? They covered it up all the time.
I'm just going to check now for the punctuation and grammar, and then I will relay back to you what I have, and then let me know if it is correct or if there is anything that you'd like me to change or add. So I've got standing in the main hall for hours on end, calling us names to belittle you. If you ever wet the bed, they would embarrass you in front of everyone. They would make you wash your feet in an open courtyard. We would have our PJs on outside. I remember seeing a lot of abuse. Vincent Hayes, he would be held down as the member of staff would punch and kick him. If the staff hurt you and you were due for weekend leave, they would find a reason not to send you home. They would take away your tuck money if you ever take away your tuck money if you ever try to exchange sweets for a bottle of juice, and if they caught you, they would punish you with violence. They were always violent. They would also take away your vacation weekend. They would cover up any abuse by blaming it on us or the other kids by saying we were fighting each other.
Yeah.
Is there anything else what you'd like me to add?
Well, basically, in the main doors, it was a big hall that was walking up. Highly polished, with big mirrors and big pictures on it, and a staircase going up it.
Yeah.
It was a big majestic house, kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you walked in the main doors to the right-hand side, up a wee set of steps, and they'd an office in there, like a room where they sit and watch the TV. Right? They used to sit in there and drink.
Hold on, it was worse
when they came out when they were drinking.
Is this a staff here?
Yeah.
And also would drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Yes, just making sure this is okay. This is right, sorry. There was in the main doors, on the right-hand side, up the stairs, there was a little room where the staff would watch TV and also drink alcohol.
Yeah.
So, again, it's the same question, but it is in relation, obviously, to the physical abuse. I know it's a bit tedious repeating yourself, because obviously you have mentioned some form of physical abuse prior. But would you be able to give one clear example of what happened when you were a victim of physical abuse? Where this abuse happened, and when did it occur, and what happened before, during, and after you were a victim of the physical abuse?
Yeah, well, basically, one I can give is I'll give one that was in the main hall when I was held down. And I was basically punched and kicked and hit with a slug, hit with my punsel.
He was punched, kicked, and hit with a plumsel.
Yeah.
I do apologise for bringing this up, but are you able to recall where they would hit you on the body?
It was round about like your bottom and your legs and anywhere, basically, you know what I mean? Apart from your head, they wouldn't hit you in the head or anything. Well, but it'd be round about anywhere like your arse kind of hanging, your legs and things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, anywhere in your body except for your head.
Yeah.
No problem. Can you recall what was happening before this happened? So the reasons to why you was placed into the main hall and held down.
It could have been anything. It could be anything at all. I mean, just something you didn't like what you'd done. It just could be anything. You done something minor wrong or something like that. It could be anything at all. Fighting with other people or
and And what happened? What would happen after you was in receipt of this physical abuse? So when you was in the main hall and they held you down and they inflicted the abuse, what happened after that?
They would get you up and make you stand in the main hall, would make you stand there. So that's when you'd be standing there all sorts of times at night, you know what I mean? And then they would keep the rinse in that wee room, the wee room I was talking about, where there was the TV and drunk.
Yeah.
And then they kept coming out of there. And when they would come out of there and get you and just see you right back to your dormitory.
Okay, hold on.
They decided.
So I'm going to recall back to you now what I've currently wrote down. Let me know if there is anything that I've missed or if there's anything what you'd like to add. So one was in the main hall when I was held down. I was punched, kicked and hit with the plum soles. It was on your bottom, legs, anywhere on your body except for your head. It could have been anything at all that could have set them off, as little as them not liking you or doing something minor. It could have been anything at all. After being hit, you will be told to stand in the hall and not to move. They would then go to the break room to drink, and they would return and send you back to their dorm when they said so.
Yeah.
Is there anything there what you'd like to add in relation to physical abuse?
Yeah. Well, there's a few. There are different things in it. I mean, they used to take you down to the boot room, and they would let the punch and kick and hit you down in the boot room.
Or maybe in the boot room?
I mean, in the with your boots and that way.
Yeah.
They would take you down there and they would hit you in there as well, you know what I mean?
In the boot room.
Nobody seen you, you know what I mean? Nobody seen them. They would threaten you, basically threaten you, you know what I mean? Like, this will get worse if you don't behave yourself, you don't do this, you don't do that, you know what I mean? So basically, you don't do what you're told, this will be worse.
Yeah. I've just added that now, saying they would threaten you afterwards, stating that it will get worse if you don't behave. So now it's the same question again. If you're able to provide one clear example of what happened when you say that you was a victim of sexual abuse. I know that you stated that with the sexual abuse, it was you witnessing other people. So are you able to describe what was happening when you witnessed this abuse? Where and when did it occur? What was happening before the abuse took place?
One of the times was in at the dormitories, the Christian brother Ryan, he slept up the top of the dormitories in a room of his own.
So what was that? One of the times it was in the dorm, Brother Ryan?
Yeah.
And where did you say his room was?
He was right up at the top of the dorm. Where he had his own room. That's where he stayed up there. In his own room and the dorm where we were.
And would you say his room was close to your dorms?
Well, it was very close, wasn't it? Wasn't it a distance away? It was close.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they used to play music through a speaker system. Into the dorms.
Yeah.
And it came to his room, that's where the sounds, the stereo sound was, the stereo came, and so he played the music coming through.
Yeah.
And some of the boys used to go up and sit in his room.
So the boys would stay in his room?
No, they'd go up and sit in there before they went to their beds.
They'd sit in his room before they were given beds?
Yes, no, before they went back to their own dormitories.
All right, okay, yeah. And what is it? What you witnessed?
It was one of the times I went up. I can't remember up to get something to ask for something. It came in a blaster, whatever. I can't even mind what it was. But when I walked out the room door, walked in, I could see this young boy basically touch them inappropriately, hold them inappropriately.
Yeah, hold on a moment. So did you see the young boy being touched in an appropriate area, or the young boy touching Brother Ryan?
The young boy touching him.
And where was he touching him?
Basically in his private.
Yeah. What happened when you walked into the room and saw this? What happened after this?
Well, it just basically just kind of jumped to the road.
They just jumped?
Aye, and then after he came and spoke to me.
What did he say?
Basically, you didn't see, you thought you seen something, you didn't.
Yes, but after he came and spoke to me about what I saw, he tried to tell me, that what I saw wasn't what I thought I saw.
Yes, and if I said anything about it, it would make my life hell.
Yeah. I'm just checking for punctuation and grammar, and then I'm just going to relay this back to you just to make sure that I've got it right. So in relation to the sexual abuse, about one of the times I was in the dorms. Brother Ryan, he was at the top of the dorms in his own room. He used to play music through a speaker system through the dorms. Some of the boys would sit in his room before they went back to their own dorms. I went to ask for something from him one time. I can't remember what it was, but I went into his room and I saw a young boy touching Brother Ryan on his privates. After he came and spoke with me about what I saw, he tried to tell me that what I saw wasn't what I thought I saw, and he said if I said anything about it, he would make my life hell.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I've missed or anything what you'd like to add in?
No, that's about it.
No problem. So, in relation to the emotional abuse that you witnessed and also experienced when you was at St. Ninian's, how often would this happen?
Quite a lot. It was happening quite a lot.
Did it ever change or become worse?
No, basically just about the same. It was just a constant kind of... It was just the way things were. If you know what I mean.
It was a constant what, sorry?
It was just the way things were. You know what I mean? It was just... No, when that was my first time ever in Kiev and things like that, first time ever away from my family. I didn't realise what was going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A bombshell to you, so what's happening here? You know what I mean? What's happening to me? You know what I mean, basically? I ran away once as well, you know what I mean?
Just one moment. That's what caused you to run away?
Basically getting hurt. You know what I mean? Getting hurt and things like that, and stood in the main hall. It was standing in the main hall. It was me and another boy, the same boy, Vincent Hayes. And basically, the crews were standing in the main hall and just decided, no, we're not doing it, we're going away, and we run away. And we get so far down the road, and we were thumbing a lift, and a car stopped. Picked us up and asked us where we were going. And we said the Kingston Bridge.
Yeah.
And he said, that's no problem, I'm going that way, jump in, I'll drop you off. I just go in the back.
Yeah.
In the back of the car. It was like a tanny colour Escort.
Yeah.
So he put us in the back of the car, and then the next thing he drew down and turned around the bounds, he said, listen, he said, don't try and get out, the door's locked, I'm the local CID, and I'm taking you back.
It was the CID.
So we get took back to St. Ninian's, and then that's when we get put in, we get battered and stood in the main hall, and lost for my weekend, I think we lost for a weekend for about three times or something, we didn't get him. We used to be every fortnight, so the three times you didn't get him.
Yeah, one moment.
That was...
Let me just try and catch up on the notes real quick. Yeah, let me just check for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll relay back to you what I've got, and then if there's anything that I've missed, you'll be able to, we'll be able to make note.
Sure.
So, but I ran away once as well. I was getting hurt in the main hall, me and the other boys. We decided we didn't want the punishment and we were going to run away. We were picked up by someone when we were running away. They disguised themselves as someone who wanted to help and told us to get in the back of the car. Once we was in the car, they said they were associated with St. Ninians and they were taking us back. We were then sent back to the main hall to which we would be punished, either being kicked or punched. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is there anything we have missed?
Well, that time you lose all your privileges. You've only allowed anything like talk shop, you've only allowed to watch TV, you weren't even allowed to sit anywhere, you'd sit in your visiting dorm, you'd just stay in your dorm.
So they'd isolate you to your dorm?
That went on for about a week, you'd stay in your dorm for about a week and you weren't allowed any privileges. You weren't allowed out.
Yeah, no worries. So again, it's the same question, but now this is in relation to the physical abuse. How often did the physical abuse occur, and did it ever change or become worse?
No, it occurred all the time, you know what I mean? But it never changed, it never got worse. It was always just the same kind of thing. Basically, if you didn't do what they told you to do, then that's when the physical abuse happened.
Yeah. And now it's the same question again. I'm sorry that if it may come, it may be a bit tedious, but would you be, can you please describe how often the sexual abuse would occur, and did it ever change or become worse?
It happened quite a lot, but it never changed, never got worse. It was just always the same kind of thing. I mean, it's always the same kind of thing. See, St. Ninians is a lot of wee, how can you explain it, secret passages was in it.
There were secret passages?
Yeah. There were a lot of wee secret, you opened a wee bit in the wall and it was like a spiral staircase, you went down and up and things like that.
Was any of these secret passages, was any of them connected to the dorms?
Yeah. One was connected, I just remember, because one was connected to dorm 12 and that was the first dorm I was put in.
Did you ever go into through this secret passage, and do you know where this secret passage led to from Dom 12?
Yeah. It went up to the quarters, you know, like the Christian Brothers quarters and things like that. It was quite right about the place, but there wasn't just one, there were umpteen that went to different areas.
Yeah.
But
so
the one in Dom 12, where Dom 12 was, it went up the passageway, up these wee stairs and things like that, and out and along, it led to like Brother Farrell's room.
He led to Brother Farrell's room,
yeah,
not
yeah,
just not just the Christian Brothers quarter as a whole, just.
Aye, not just his, like just in the whole, but his room was up in that area where he slept, because it was a big house. I mean, it was a big, big house.
Yeah.
It's not a big mansion thing, you know what I mean, a big gold mansion. One of the times when I was first in there, I was in Dorm 12, that's where I got put in Dorm 12.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of nights after I was in, I woke up with somebody sitting in the bottom of my bed. And saying it was okay and patting me.
Hold on. Apologies, Matthew. One moment. Yeah, so you woke up, there was a couple of nights I'd wake up with someone at the bottom of my bed. They would be patting me and telling me that it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was happening?
I can have a black robe on, right? I was dressed in black. And
he was dressed in black?
Yeah, Christian Brothers are always, they all wore black robes.
So you don't know who that person was?
No. But when I hung me, when I woke up and the person was at the bed, I started screaming and kicking.
Yeah.
And one of the boys that was in the room, someone told him to put the lights on.
Yeah.
And there were nobody there. So they put it down as a dream kind of thing. I thought it was a dream, but in later years, I was kind of thinking myself, that was near a dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was near a dream. Like, obviously, out the dorm, as I was thinking about it, out the dorm and up the street, that wee passageway at the road, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could lead down to the boot room, that one, or it could lead up to the quarters in the Christian Brothers area. And then after that...
Hold on, sorry. It's okay, don't apologise. Yes, I was just bundled up saying I started kicking and screaming. One of the boys woke up and turned the lights on, but then there was nobody there. They said I was dreaming, but it wasn't. But I wasn't dreaming. There was somebody there.
Yeah.
And then I put then there was somebody there. They was using the secret passage.
Yep.
And then what is it? What you were going to continue to
say? After that, the Brother Ryan had. I met the next day, and he said to me, and I asked me what happened, and I said to him, he said, you must have been dreaming and things like that. And then they moved me that next day, they moved me into another dormitory.
The next day I was moved into a new dorm.
Yeah. As I said, he was sitting above my bed and patting me and saying everything's okay, but he had his hand under the cover.
He put his hand under the cover?
His hand to her.
Hold on 1 second, let me go back. Yeah, so I just went back and added that to where you said... one of the times when I was there was a couple of nights I would wake up with someone at the bottom of my bed. They would be patting me, putting his hands under the cover and telling me it was okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm just going to now just adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I'm going to read back to you that account, and then let me know if I've made any mistake or if there's anything what you'd like to add. So I just put it happened quite a lot. It never changed or got worse. It was always the same type of thing. There were secret passages in St. Ninian's. One was connected to Dorm 12, which was the first dorm I was put in. He went up to the Christian Farrell's dorm, One of the times when I was first there, there were a couple of nights I would wake up with someone at the bottom of my bed. They would be patting me, putting his hands under the covers and telling me it was okay. He was dressed in all black robes, so I didn't know who they were. I started kicking and screaming. One of the boys woke up and turned the lights on, but then there was nobody there. They said I was dreaming, but I wasn't dreaming. There was somebody there. They were using the secret passage. The next day, I told Brother Ryan. He told me I would have been dreaming and didn't see what I thought I saw. The same day, I was moved into a new dorm. Is that correct, or is there anything else?
Yeah, no, that's
it. Is there anything what you feel is relevant that you'd like to add?
I don't think so, no.
Now it is going to be now the next question gonna have to be relayed in relation to all of the abuse that you was victim of and experience. So in relation to the emotional abuse, Matthew, are you able to recall what immediate effects you experienced from the emotional abuse? So this being any pain or injury, any fear, any shame, any sleeping problems, any bedwetting, running away, or behaviour or school changes?
Yeah, well, basically all, because I had fear and physical abuse and pain. Running away.
Again, the same question, but this time it's in relation to the physical abuse. What immediate effects did you experience upon being a victim of physical abuse?
What do you mean?
So, I do apologise, because obviously it does seem a bit of a silly question. So, when you was a victim of the physical abuse, and also witnessed any physical abuse, what immediate effects did you experience?
Fear, basically fear.
Do you recall any serious injuries what was ever inflicted?
Never serious injuries, no. There were never any serious injuries. There were nothing that we'd be too serious on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you'd say that you felt fear as an immediate effect of the physical abuse?
Yeah, fear. Bed wet. Well, you did wet the bed because it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then again, this is in relation to the sexual abuse. What immediate effects did you experience when you were a victim of the sexual abuse?
I don't know. I can't describe it, you know what I mean? I don't know.
You can't remember?
No.
No worries, I don't know, I can't remember. So, in relation to all of the abuse, being emotional, physical and sexual, did anyone witness it, know about it, or experience anything similar?
Yeah, everybody did. Mostly all the boys in the police did. You know what I mean? Like, asking things like that.
All the boys experienced or witnessed it?
Yeah.
Would you say the staff witnessed or knew about any of it?
The staff witnessed as well, huh? They witnessed it, yeah.
So the next question is, Matthew, did you tell anyone or try to get any help?
Yeah, well, I told my parents and things like that.
What response did you receive from your parents?
They were quite angry about it, and they phoned up and they you went up to the place?
They rang and physically went to the place?
Yeah. Because obviously my parents believe me. I mean, I wasn't saying it for any reason.
So following your parents ringing in and then turning up to the place, what happened?
Basically, they just talked to me around about it.
They spoke that they...
said it wasn't true and things like that. I was making things up and...
Yeah. Now, this is the final question in relation to your time at St. Ninian's. And obviously, it's going to be a bit peculiar because you haven't had any other placements. But what was different about this placement compared to the others? So I more phrase this question as, what was different being at St. Ninian's compared to being within your parents' care?
A completely different atmosphere, a completely different atmosphere, a completely different thing. So, I mean, it wasn't a loving place to be in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically how, just basically it wasn't a loving place. I mean, it was an awful experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was something that I hadn't experienced before. And it's basically loving me all my life, because for me, I feel like I have no respect for authority or anything like that, and things like that. I mean, any authority, I have no respect for it. No, I mean, I'm a rebel against it.
Yeah, I'm just going to check for punctuation and grammar, then I'll relay it back to you. What I have, and if there's anything that I've missed or you'd like to add, just let me know. But it was a completely different atmosphere from when I was at home. It wasn't a loving place to be in. It was an awful experience, something I hadn't experienced before. I have no respect for authority now. Because of this, I rebel against any authority.
Yep.
Is there anything what you'd like to add there?
I think that's all.
No problem, Matthew. Right, so now next is just on to people involved, reporting, and institutional knowledge. So within your time in St. Ninian's, who were the main people responsible for the abuse?
Well, the ones I gave you.
So Brother Ryan, Brother Farrell.
Yeah, Kelly.
Brother Kelly.
And the guy who came on.
And Kate.
I'll try to remember his name. I can't remember his name. Can't remember.
It's okay if you can't remember his name. So what will happen is that when other people who are applying for the Scottish Redress, if there's ever been anyone who's also gone to St. Ninian's and they've done their witness statement, if they mention this teacher and they give the nickname, because it does ask for us to take nicknames, if there's obviously another person makes a record of caveman, then obviously they'll be able to reference your witness statement as well, being this caveman, and then they may end up actually having a name for him or knowing what his role was.
I know his name, but I just kind of get it in my head, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, that's fine. Do you remember any descriptive features about caveman? There must be a reason as to why you called him.
Kind of longer hair, they had a big beard.
Long hair, big beard.
And the story was that he gave up his house and went and lived in a cave. You know what I mean? So that's the reason he got in the cave, man, and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just put caveman, teacher, long hair, big beard. The story was he gave up his house and went to live in a cave, hence the name caveman.
Yep.
Fantastic. The next question will be, were other children affected and did you witness abuse or harm to anyone else?
Yeah, all the time.
And what type of abuse did you witness?
Hitting and holding down and hitting with the same as me, a cane or your plimsoll or getting kicked or punched.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Is there any other form of abuse what you witnessed? Like any emotional abuse? any physical abuse, any sexual abuse, any neglect?
Yeah, well, sexual abuse when I seen in the room and things like that. Remember, the brother Ryan, you know what I mean? Remember?
Yeah. Why do you believe staff or the institution knew or should have known what was happening?
Because they were all here, innit? They were all... They knew what was going on, but then...
Yeah, that's fine. Were complaints ever discouraged?
What do you mean, complaints discouraged?
So, say if you wanted to obviously make a complaint, say if you went to a teacher who you thought was a trusted adult,
yeah,
and you wanted to make a complaint about said Brother Ryan or Caveman or Brother Kelly, did they ever try to stop you and refrain you from making complaints to someone?
They would take the complaint off you, but there was nothing ever done about it. They would just say, I'll look into that, and there was nothing ever done about it.
Do you know whenever you made a complaint, did you ever receive a punishment for making a complaint?
Sometimes you did, aye. Sometimes you made a complaint, they would tell you, you know what I mean, like, you're just a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd just be a troublemaker, and you'd be punished for it. You know what I mean? You would lose your, like, your money allowance or something like that. Or, you know what I mean?
Take away you took money. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
What they do?
Well, basically just the thing as well. They tell you go in your room and your dorm, don't come out your dorm, stay in your dorm and things like that. No watching TV and
take away privileges.
I mean, I take away privileges because they said you would just be a troublemaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Were you moved, threatened, or disbelieved?
You mean moved?
So I would have said yeah with the relation. So moved, as you stated in, do you know when you woke up in the middle of the night with the person at the end of the bed?
Yeah.
And then you told Brother Ryan about it?
Yeah, and I was moved into dorm, another dorm the next day.
Yeah, I was moved out of my first dorm when I told Brother Ryan of the man at the end of my bed in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And finally, in relation to people involved, have you ever reported the abuse to the police, an inquiry, a professional, or any authority?
The only person I ever reported it was my mother and father.
No problem. So next it's the movement between placements and leaving Kerr, and I know obviously you've only been to the one, so again, were the reasons ever explained to you why you was put in St Ninian's?
No, really, no, not at all. It'd probably been explained to my mother and father and things like that, but I think it was just because of playing truant to school and things like that.
Yeah. Did you ever run away, refuse to return, or ask to be moved?
I did run away.
What happened?
I got caught with a guy in the water, CID in the water, and came back to St Ninian's. And then I was battered then, stood in the main hall. And was for my privileges for a week and a half, 2 weeks.
He was taken to the main hall for punishment. And then did you say you was isolated for 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah. You're not allowed home at the weekend, you have your weekend leave.
So the final question in relation to this section is, when and at what age did you leave Kerr?
I was about 11, I was here about 14 months, so about 12 or 13 or something.
12 or 13.
somewhere.
What was your circumstances after this?
Well, basically, I just went back to school.
And to live with your, with your family?
I think I joined school in second year or third year. I left school in first year and I think I joined it back in second year, third year, I think maybe it was.
My first year and returned in my second year. So next is going to be the impact that care has had on your life as a whole. So how did the experience affect you at the time?
At the time it was hard, I was in Dominion.
Yeah, so how did it affect your feeling of safety, of trust, your confidence,
I didn't feel safe or trusted. I mean, I didn't feel anything like that. It was horrible, as I say. It was just somewhere you didn't want to be. You didn't want to get back, you know what I mean? I seen a few times my mother thought I was going to get back. But he told me I had to get back, so I had to get back.
Yes, but I never felt safe or had any trust. It was horrible, as I say. It was somewhere you didn't want to be or a place you wanted to go back to. I said this to my mum and dad, but they said I had to go back, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how the experience affected your sleep and your behaviour?
It affected my behaviour in a big way, not only because... I mean, I couldn't sleep. I mean, I was anxious all the time.
Couldn't sleep. Anxious all the time. Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you say it ever affected any of your relationships or your ability to speak up?
I would say it has, though. I would say it has.
Are you able to say in what way it's affected your relationships and your ability to speak up?
Well, my wife, I was married and I got divorced because of it. You know what I mean? Drink wise, day. You know what I mean? It was because I was dependent on drink and things like that. Because I was just everything that went on, you know what I mean? It just. It affected nearly all my relationships because I just can't enjoy all the relationships, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, so I'm just going to check for punctuation and grammar and then I'm going to relay back to you what I have and just let me know if there's anything that I've missed or if there's anything that we'd like to add. So but I never felt safe or had any trust. It was horrible. As I say, it was somewhere you didn't want to be or a place you wanted to go back to. I said this to my mum and dad, but they said I had to go back, so I did. It affected my behavior in a big way. I couldn't sleep. I was anxious all the I'm anxious all the time. I would say that it's affected my relationships and my ability to speak up. I was married and got divorced because of the drink. Everything what went on was a factor of this. I can't really hold any relationships because of my experience. I don't trust anyone, so it makes it difficult. Is that the correct, or is there anything what you'd like me to change or
add? That's fine.
No problem. The next question is, how has it affected your mental health? This including any anxiety, depression, trauma symptoms, panic, flashbacks, nightmares, self-harm, or any suicidal thoughts?
I've had flashbacks about it. You know what I mean? I've had kind of flashbacks about it. You know what I mean? And mental health wise, it's affected me, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't like tell you the truth. I don't know how it's affected me. It's affected me in a good way, but really, you know, it's
yeah, so I just put, I had flashbacks about it. Mental health-wise, it has affected me. I don't know what else to tell you. I can't say how it's affected me, but it's all been in a bad way.
Yeah. Even right now, talking about the news, it's giving me flashbacks. It's giving me, it's affecting me, feel what I'm talking about. It's bringing back bad memories.
I do apologise for that.
No, I know, it's fine. It's not, it's not your fault. You know what I mean, it's, I'm just saying, leaving, seeing it in the news, it's just bringing back bad memories, you know what I mean?
I've also made a note of that, that within the moment of time I've taken the witness statement, that obviously you're experiencing flashbacks and bringing up negative memories.
Yes.
How has it affected your physical health, Matthew? Has it affected your sleep, any pain, any alcohol or substance use?
Alcohol, yeah. I've a lot of alcohol abuse. A lot of drug abuse too.
Are you able to tell me what drugs you've taken in the past?
Well, basically just like Valium and jellies, as they called them.
Jellies?
Aye.
What
are, like that.
Sorry to ask, but what are jellies?
I'm trying to think of the name, you know, I kind of say it's a doctor's like, tablet thing, you know what it's a...
Is it like an edible?
Aye, they're in a wee kind of wee egg. Wee kind of egg thing, and it's liquid, it's in it.
Do you know what the drug would be called?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Is it like a THC edible or anything like that?
I can't even think of the name of the drug.
Yeah, that's fine. Is there any other drugs what you've taken?
I don't know, it's Valium.
Just Valium and the jelly thing? Okay, that's fine.
I've never seen any kind of heroin or anything like that. I've never seen anything like that.
So you've never taken hard drugs like heroin?
No. Coke and things like that, but...
Sorry, did you say you have taken cocaine or you haven't?
No, I've seen cocaine.
Yeah, that's fine. And would you say it's affected your sleep in any way?
I can't sleep.
And have you ever tried to seek medical attention in relation to your trouble sleeping?
I've had a doctor. I've seen a doctor for my mental health.
Yeah.
When she prescribed me.
Antidepressants. Yeah. Can you remember anything else that you've been prescribed by, either a mental health professional or just a normal professional?
No, it's basically all just antidepressants.
No problem. How has it affected your relationships, parenting, friendships, intimacy, trust or isolation?
It's not affected me good, you know what I mean? Because I say I was married, divorced, and I can't hold on to a relationship. I've got a son and a daughter, and I don't see them, I don't speak to them. Your grandkids, I haven't even seen.
Yeah, one moment. sorry to ask, did you say that you don't see your kids?
I don't see my grandkids, my kids, you know. I've been in a prison all my life in Europe as well, you know what I mean? Not for a long way on here, I've tried to get away, but I've been in a prison for different stupid things, you know what I mean? Like,
for stupid things?
Aye, anger issues and things like that, and assaults and whatever.
Anger issues, assaults, is there any other offences that you can remember?
Yeah, I used to be stealing cars.
Stealing? Have you ever served a sentence that has been longer than 5 consecutive years?
Oh.
No.
No.
How has it affected your education, work, confidence, opportunities, finances, housing, or day-to-day stability?
My confidence is not very good. I'm not a very confident person. Work-wise, I'm fine. You know what I mean? In my work, I'm fine.
Work-wise, I'm fine. Are there any triggers, any places, smells, authority figures, institutions or situations that you avoid?
No.
Not really, no.
No.
That's fine. The final question in relation to the impact of the experience as a whole, what impact has this had on your life overall? And what do you think may have been different if it had not happened?
It's a big impact in my life. I mean, so I think what would have been different if it never happened is I wouldn't have been as anxious the way I'm are, and I wouldn't have been out of jail. Maybe my relationships would have been better. I might have been a more plausible person. But as if I'm defence all the time. If you know what I mean, I'm...
You feel on the defence all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it's had a big impact on my life. If it didn't happen, I wouldn't have been to prison. I'd be more of a positive person. I'd be able to handle relationships better. I feel on the defensive all the time.
Yeah.
So now, if it's just for the support and treatment part of the witness statement, have you ever received counselling, therapy, mental health services, addiction services, GP, treatment, hospital or other professional support?
I went to counselling once.
Are you still in counselling?
No, I'm still in counselling. No, I did it once for a few weeks and then that was it.
Yeah, just but I went to counselling once. I am no longer there. I went for a few weeks and that was it.
Yeah. I just didn't think it was doing me any good.
Yeah, just added a note of that saying that you didn't believe that it was doing you any good.
Yep.
The next question would be, have you been diagnosed with any relevant condition and have you taken any related medication?
No.
No?
Like related? Yeah. Condition.
Yeah.
No, not related. No.
So like any mental health
Just my mental health, probably. Aye, because I was, what I mean.
So what was you diagnosed with? And
no,
what?
Sorry, no, I wasn't diagnosed with it. No.
No,
no, but no.
Okay, no problem. No, are you receiving support now?
No.
Have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, redress application, complaints, police reports, inquiry statement, or claim to any other scheme about this abuse you stated today?
No.
No? Did you receive any payment, apology, settlement, or decision, or sign any waiver / discharge?
No.
So now we're just going to go to the reasons for applying for the redress scheme. So why are you applying to the Scottish redress scheme, and what would you like to come from telling your story today, Matthew?
I don't know.
That's fine. What would an acknowledgement mean to you, Matthew?
It would mean a lot, Craig. It would mean that they would recognise that they were wrong, they didn't have done wrong. It'd be a step forward to see, well, they've done wrong. I did have the police up at the house a couple of times once for regarding St. Ninian to take a statement off me and all that and to go to court.
Yeah.
Against two of the Christian brothers or whatever. But I didn't want to go to court.
Yeah. That's fine. So I just put it would mean a lot to me that they would recognise the things that they have done wrong. It would be a step in the right direction.
Yep.
Is there anything else you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm that you have lived with?
No, not really. Just that it wasn't a good experience. It was a bad experience, that was all. Something that will stay with me the rest of my life.
What was that last part, sorry?
It's something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. It'll always be in the back of my mind, if you know what I mean, what happened and seen anything.
I'm just going to read this back to you because this part of the reason for applying is the kind of like the only chance where you'll be able to kind of correspond and converse with Scottish Redress, but obviously it will be through the application.
Yeah.
So what I've got is no, not really. Just that there is a just that it was a bad experience. It was something that will stay with me until the rest of my life. It will always be in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I don't know.
That's perfectly fine. Okay, so that's going to the conclusion of the witness statement today, Matthew. I'm just needing to ask, is there anything important that we have not covered or wording that you want handled correctly?
No, I don't think so. No.
How are you feeling after discussing this? And do you feel safe to end the call?
I'm feeling okay. I feel a bit kind of anxious and things like that, because it's brought about a lot of memories again. You know what I mean? But a lot of different things. But the memories are always there. You know what I mean? They're always there at the back of my mind of what happened. But I am quite happy to end the call. I mean, I'm not going to go and take my life or anything like that.
That's good to hear. Just one moment.
I just feel as if the Christian Brother Foundation or organisation could be paying for something that they put children into and what they put children through. I mean, there's no child should need to get through that.
At least they should be held responsible.
Yeah.
So what I've done is that I've just put that where the question is there anything what you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm you lived? I've just added that to that section because I think that it's more appropriate to be placed there. And then the final, one of the two final questions, is there someone that you can contact for support or would you like support service details?
No, I can contact somebody for support.
And then finally, has the next steps been explained to you?
No.
No. I'm just going to turn the answer now to yes and I'm going to explain to you on the phone what the next stages are. So, I'm going to go ahead once we've concluded this witness statement, Matthew, and I'm going to draft up the witness statement so it's in the correct format as to what Scottish Redress would like it to be in.
Yeah.
I will also corroborate any claims and statements that you've made in relation to abuse and the Kerr setting within this witness statement.
Yeah.
And I will look through your GP record, any mental health or NHS records, as well as your childcare records, to be able to create a bundle of exhibits, which will be to support your witness statement and corroborate from what you've been saying.
Yeah.
Once that has happened, I will send you a copy of the witness statement in order for you to sign. This is essentially you stating that the witness statement that has been provided to you is correct. It is from the best of your ability and your knowledge of the account of what happened to you during your time in Kerr. Following that, you will then be invited to a WhatsApp video call. This will be with my claims operation manager being Jay Taylor, as well as our head solicitor here at MMA Legal. All this phone call is, Matthew, is to just to confirm your identity. So all you'll need to do is just have either your driving license, your passport, you could also use an in-date Saltier card, and all you need to do is just have this in front of your face as you are on the camera with my manager and the solicitor.
Yes.
When the solicitor is happy with obviously confirming your identity, it will then be passed on to the Scottish Redress panel. Following that, we are estimating a 8 to 12 weeks of a response, so in which you will get your formal acknowledgement from the Redress panel about the negligence of the control of your curve when you was at St Ninian's. And not only that, you will be awarded any compensation that they deemed necessary and appropriate for your matter.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's great. Yep.
Fantastic. Well, I just wanted to obviously to state that this is obviously me concluding the witness statement. I'd just like you to obviously thank you for speaking with me today, because I appreciate that this obviously is a difficult phone call. And it would be obviously bring back the memories, but you have been incredibly brave. Not only that, you have provided a lot of detail about your experience, and not only have you provided detail, but you've also provided it in a way what creates a chronology of events and also has somewhat of a timeline, so it's not jumbled up in any way, shape or form. So again, I would like to commemorate you for that, and hopefully I will speak to you in the next coming weeks. Just to let you know though, I am very busy at the moment with conducting witness statements and also at the same time drafting these statements. I have got a holiday booked on the first week of September. So I'm hoping by the 4th of September, you should by then at least have the copy of your drafted witness statement with the exhibits and the bundle. And then my claims operation manager will then proceed further with getting you booked in for the ID verification with himself and the head solicitor here at MMA Legal.
Yeah.
And then your application will then be submitted to Scottish Redress, okay?
Yeah, probably, okay.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for your time today, Matthew.
Neighbor, thanks a lot.
I hope you have a nice evening.
Neighbor, same yourself. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.